having me. It's been good to talk with you.
Okay, well, that wraps it up for today's show. Back to Tammy and more programming here on KBOO.
KBOO Portland. The time is just about 9 a.m. And as you know, the station right now is currently closed to all in-station volunteer and visitor activity for the next upcoming while due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Effective March 13th, while our airwaves are still live and all in-station classes and meetings are canceled for the month, our KBOO values and health and safety for our communities come first, so we're taking operational precautions to do our part. For more information how KBOO is combating COVID-19, you can go to kboo.fm/COVID-19. Stay tuned and let's stay connected. We are your community connection, KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Peter Himmelman. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
We know what it feels like. We know how horrible it feels. And we would love for that 15-year-old I mentioned who can't get all the way into Portland to walk into the Westside Queer Resource Center and understand that they are welcomed and understood and that there's going to be somebody there, either at an affinity group meeting or even maybe behind the desk right there, who has walked a path similar to theirs.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. We feature interviews with leaders in the community focusing on issues important to Washington County.
Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Today, our guests are Shannon Walton Clark, who is legislative assistant to a state house member, and she is board chair of the Westside Q Center. We also have with us Beach Pace. Beach is a current Hillsborough City Councilor and an activist in Washington County. She appears today, along with Shannon, in her activist role. Beach has served in the military. Currently, she works as a CEO of the nonprofit Big Brothers Big Sisters Columbia Northwest, a social change organization based in Portland, which ensures all children achieve success in life via professionally supported, long-term, and consistent mentorship. She has previously worked at nonprofits that target at-risk youth and direct them towards career opportunities and service projects. Today, we will be discussing a plan to bring a version of Portland's Q Center to Washington County. Welcome, Beach. Welcome, Shannon. I think probably the best place to start is we have a Q Center in Portland. Just what is that Q Center before we talk about what's coming to the West Side?
That Q Center is a center that serves the LGBTQ community in Portland, mm-hmm. and so that was the point of the West Side Queer Resource Center. And our group is seven of us right now, plus a lot of interested community members who want to see a queer resource center on the West Side. And if you think about the accessibility of, let's say, a 15-year-old who's questioning, who isn't sure what to do, not sure to come out to their parents, and they want to go talk to somebody, they would have to get on the MAX, go into Portland, find the bus route, and then get over to the Queer Resource Center in Northeast Portland or North Portland, which is tough.
When they're already scared to begin with.
And so the idea behind our group, the Westside Queer Resource Center group, is to provide services and eventually set up a space, a safe space, where somebody like that can go, that 15-year-old can go. Conversely, we have parents who are wondering, how can they best support their kids? Should they be going all the way to Northeast? No. So that's, you know, there's a myriad of reasons why we want to set up the Westside Queer Resource Center over here, but I would say access and geography.
Did you have any particular thoughts, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, to add to that, I think also it's about creating a network of resources and those relationships. So the Q Center in Portland is obviously connected and tapped into the resources, social resources, healthcare resources, school resources based in Portland. Mm-hmm. Like Beach said, if you've got a 15-year-old living in Hillsboro, those resources are great, but they're maybe not serving them out here. So it's also about creating a network of resources and creating a collaborative environment where nonprofits, governments, businesses, social services, and our organization can work together to create that network and that patchwork of support and services for the community out here, because it is unique for us geographically as well.
Understood. Looking east for just a little bit longer before we focus on the plan, the program that's coming here, what has Portland's Q Center accomplished for the LGBTQ community? What are some of the important resources and assistance, activism, et cetera, offered at the Q Center that make it worth doing something like their program here?
I would definitely talk about SMRC, which is one of their youth and teen programs that specifically works with teens and youth that are gender expansive or trans, mm-hmm. And providing that community. And that SMRC was its own organization, and then the Q Center kind of absorbed them, is my understanding. And that ability to organize events. They've organized gay skate nights for like a roller skating. They've organized movie nights. Again, safe spaces for youth and teens to create community that's not centered around a bar. Mm-hmm. Something the queer and the trans communities really struggle with a lot is a lot of times we're just told, go to the gay bar, go to the drag bars. Which is all fine and great, you know, some of us like a cocktail now and then, but it's also, it can be very toxic and can be very unhealthy, and especially if you're not 21, you're just supposed to wait until you're 21 to create that community. So that ability to provide youth and teenage-specific programming, and their SMRC programs especially, is another major reason why we want to have programming out here that's centered around our youth and our families.
Understood. Is the emphasis solely on youth?
No. It's serving the community. You know, the example I gave of a parent, you know, wondering how can they best support their kids. And frankly, just an ally or somebody who just wants someone to talk to. You know, I'm sure you've had this, Shannon, where somebody comes up to you and says, can you tell me why this or that? Because they just don't understand something about the LGBTQ community. And they were brave enough and felt comfortable enough with me and others in our group to ask those questions. What if you just wanted to pick up a phone and say, can you explain this to me? Can you explain why the pronoun they can be used for a singular person? Can you tell me why that's important? Mm-hmm. But they there's no one to call right now. And so we want to provide that resource.
So will you be having a 24-hour information line or?
We don't know that yet. We're still working out programming. We have had community meetings where people have come in and said, this is what we want, and we've certainly seen trends. A 24-hour hotline is not one of those trends yet, but I think we could get there. And ideally, we'd love to have a website where people can just go on the website and be passively learning about the LGBTQ community without necessarily exposing themselves or feeling weird about calling. You know, these are all things in the future that we'd like to have. But our initial outreach to the community has told us some other things that they're interested in, which, you know, we can get into, but 24-hour phone line, not right now.
Got it. Well, and actually just kind of transitioning into other aspects, is establishing the Q Center out here in the West Side. You said it's a matter of accessibility, and I certainly understand that. But in addition to that, are there also instances or patterns of discrimination that the community out here is receiving that's more unique to the West Side?
I think definitely. Obviously, Washington County is the most diverse county in Oregon, so we also have a very different population that we're talking about. Recently, so every 2 years, the Oregon Health Authority does a Oregon teen healthy behavior, healthy teen surveys in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2017 data tells us that in Washington County, 8th and 11th graders who identify as trans or gender expansive, 70 to 80% of them are suicidal, have suicidal ideation tendencies, versus their cis male white counterparts at 8%. That's huge.
Yes,
we're talking about 80% of our gender expansive youth out here having suicidal tendencies. We've got a problem. So those are issues that we specifically deal out with here. And again, that diverse community background, that 35% communities of color look very different for us out here culturally than what the diverse and communities of color look like in Portland.
And actually just following along with that, looking at the track record of the Q Center, the Portland Q Center at times has attracted criticism and community resentment. According to a not too long ago, 2015, Oregonian article, transgender people and the African American community felt isolated from the organization. Competing interests among younger and older LGBT individuals and between different identities within the LGBTQ community often made it difficult to effectively serve the needs of multiple groups within. How would this new Westside Q Center avoid the pitfalls and find a way to effectively serve the communities within the community?
I'll take part of that. I'm going to back up a little bit, and I'll say that the LGBTQ community in general wasn't that. It was the gay community or the lesbian and gay community. So we were actually discriminating against our own, against the transgender community.
Yes.
I hate to say it, but it's true. And so I think our community is doing, nationwide, worldwide, is doing healing and realizing that the lesbian and gay part was not being accepting and inclusive, which is ironic. So there's the history of it, number one. Number two, I think there's also been, as you've said, a history of racism in the LGBTQ community, or certainly separation. And so one of the steps we're taking is on the board, we're being very mindful of who is on that board. We have transgender people on the board. We have people of color on the board. We're working to bring more folks of all different parts of the LGBTQAI+ community on the board, because that sets a tone. That sets and that sets an example. We've been really, I would say, militant about it as far within our group of saying, like, these are the demographics, these are the folks we want. And of course, you know, hardworking, committed, community-minded, et cetera, right? But I would say we're looking at the core first and making sure that core is diverse before we do anything
else.
Yeah,
but you've seen this discrimination, and as you say, you're being mindful and you're planning ahead for it right from the very beginning. Good. What does it take in terms of staffing, messaging, outreach, to design a Q Center that's as inclusive as we're talking about?
We've been working for over a year now, and the first thing we started with was, number one, ourselves getting together and understanding what our vision and our mission is, which we can share in a little bit. But then also, well, after that, we went out to the community, to Beaverton, to Forest Grove here in Hillsboro. We're going to be going back to Beaverton, I believe, for listening sessions, and I think we're going to be going down to Tigard as well, to hear from the community, what do you want in a Q Center? So instead of the group of us saying, this is what we think, we're saying, what do you want? The first thing we did was ask.
Yes.
Versus, this is what you need, it's what would you like?
Listening is a great approach. It's also a good way to get folks to buy into the process.
Absolutely, because then it's their center, right? It's their space. They've had a hand in guiding and in leading the efforts. They can say, oh, I was there and I had that suggestion, and now the suggestion's a thing. Mm-hmm. And you automatically are having that be reflective of what they need and what they want.
As you're working to promote having these listening sessions, et cetera, what kind of support have you found?
Go ahead.
It's been great. It's been absolutely astoundingly amazing. We have had some community organizations, specifically PFLAG and then the National Alliance for Mental Illness, they come to all of our meetings. They've come to every single one of our listening sessions. They are behind us 100%. We've had an opportunity, obviously, Beach sits on the city council for the city of Hillsborough. We've been in conversations with some city councilors over in Beaverton. We've been in conversations with Washington County commissioners that are all saying, yes, now, yesterday, how can we help? Where do we need it? You know, what role can we have? We were out at Pacific University last weekend doing a listening session with some of their students and with the community out there. So everywhere we've gone, it's been, where is it? How can I build it? What kind of money do you need? How can I volunteer? It's just been constant. Like, how do I get involved?
That's just absolutely wonderful. Wonderful to hear. Yeah. And then it leads to, well, what do you need from your supporters? What resources and funds do you need to actually plan and execute a new Q Center? And where will those resources be coming from?
Well, we've been doing some fundraising already. We're a 501c3, mm-hmm. so we're official. And we've been partnering with different groups in the community, such as the Hops, Bag and Baggage, et cetera, for space or donations, right? And so if I was going to say, if somebody's listening and says, how can I help? I would say go to our Facebook page, Westside QRC, mm-hmm. and you can sign up there for an email and get on our mailing list. You can also donate through our Facebook page because money is always wonderful and it helps pay for events, for food, et cetera. And I think it's interesting to note that not only has the response been warm, but you know, I fundraise, that's what I do for a living. I've never had an easier ask. You know, when people hear about what we're doing, they're like, well, yeah, that makes sense. There isn't a whole lot of pushback. You know, there's questions, of course, mm-hmm. but it's just an understanding of, yeah, we do need a resource center. Yeah, that we do need programming. And the more the merrier. So again, Westside QRC on Facebook if you want to help out and learn more.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, there's some grant opportunities both through nonprofit social change networks, also through both, you know, the cities, the local cities and the county mm-hmm. As well. So those are some opportunities for us to build up funding in a grant focused kind of way. But I think we also all realize that this is a service that people are needing, and how do we serve that maybe through civic engagement? And so one avenue we're beginning the process of discussing is becoming an official partner for the Hillsborough 2035 comprehensive plan for the community. And what avenues and what doors does that open for them and for us to work together on building this Queer Resource Center as a City of Hillsborough community focused endeavor and initiative?
These discussions are going on right now with the city?
Yes, they are.
Excellent. And shall I assume, as we're talking, Beach and Shannon, do you have a preferred location?
We haven't landed on that yet. Okay. We're trying to find a place that's going to be near mass transit, near the MAX line or a bus line, or we want to make it easily accessible, and we want to make it welcoming, a place where anybody can walk in from any community and learn more about our community and be accepted and welcomed. We're looking at programming first, though. We're doing programming first before we're jumping into a rent, a building, because what we heard most was, we really just want to go somewhere and learn more. I want to learn more about my son or daughter or my non-binary kid. And I want to learn how to talk to my parents about who I think I am, things like that. So programming can happen anywhere. We don't need a building, our own building, so to speak. So we're doing that first.
You just need to identify a space that, mm-hmm. as you have said, is safe and comfortable so that there can be some openness in the communication.
Exactly.
You know, the Q Center in Portland offers so many programs I can't even count. I think at least 30 different programs. Mm-hmm. What are some programs, whether they offer them there or not, but what are some programs that you think are particularly important to offer here on the West Side?
What we're hearing is offering programming around gender expansive education, mm-hmm. And especially for not only for kids and parents, but for public school counselors. We're actually already doing that. We want to offer some programming on language and intersectionality. We'd love to be able to educate the faith community. In fact, we're already signed up to do that,
yes,
right?
We are.
To provide
yep.
training as far as what is an inclusive community of faith look like. So we have a church that's already reached out to us, and we'll be providing training to them. So those are just some of the things that we've heard back from the community. Mm-hmm. And again, the response has been tremendous. They want training a year ago, yesterday. It's been great.
That's absolutely excellent. Yeah. Folks that have so much direct contact in the school system are interested in learning more. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In your programming, will you be offering medical services or counseling services?
Not at this time. Obviously, counseling and medical services adds that layer of liability insurance, which we don't have at the moment. Mm-hmm. But one avenue we are exploring is affinity groups. So affinity groups are not a support group, so we don't have to have a licensed counselor or therapist, but they're an opportunity for people to come together and build community. Because that's the other thing we hear is, I want somebody to talk to. I want people and parents and families that my kids can play with now that my kid has come out as trans or non-binary or gay or whatever. And so rather than Field of Dream It, build the Queer Resource Center and the community comes in, it's about convening the community that's already here, helping connect them, and then when the space becomes a reality, you're just taking that convening into the space. And so it's also about how can we be the connectors, mm-hmm. And recognizing, so we've met with and talked with some medical providers, with some insurance companies, with practitioners about when people call us or email us, we can send them to them, but we as ourselves are not planning on offering that at this time.
When you talk in terms of the affinity groups, are they going to be segregated? I know how silly that word sounds, but will there be an affinity group for allies and an affinity group for lesbian folks, an affinity group for gay gentlemen, or are we talking about an affinity group being LGBTQ plus group?
I think we're going to start with topic specific focus. So the first kind of iteration we're going to do with this is for gender expansive youth and their parents and guardians. Mm-hmm. And so having, potentially here at the Brookwood Library. So hosting it and having staggered activities. So we can have an activity and a facilitator for our littles, and we can have an activity and a facilitator for some of our bigger kids. And then their parents and guardians can have an opportunity to talk. What are they going through? What resources have they used? What doctor do you use? Where do you take them on the weekends? Mm-hmm. Where do you grocery shop? Right, mm-hmm. Like those basic things that parents and guardians, you wouldn't think they would need information about, but they do, especially as their children are journeying through their own identities and their own process.
I hope you'll be able to start your work soon, and when you start the affinity groups, will you also be able to, say, deal with the kind of case that Beach you brought up earlier, the 15-year-old who doesn't know where to turn, doesn't have a sense of identity?
Yes.
So you'll be able to deal with them right from the start?
Ideally, right? We want to be able to, an affinity group for youth who are transgender, let's say, right, to come into a room and understand that they are not the only one. And that's the most interesting thing about our group. We have been the only one at some point. We know what it feels like. We know how horrible it feels. And we would love for that 15-year-old I mentioned who can't get all the way into Portland to walk into the Westside Queer Resource Center and understand that they are welcomed and understood, and that there's going to be somebody there, either at an affinity group meeting or even maybe behind the desk right there, who has walked a path similar to theirs.
Do you anticipate, the support you guys are talking about is just great, but do you anticipate any pushback, either political or religious, from community members at the prospect of funding and establishing a new center, especially once you've chosen your location?
Potentially, yes. There's pushback on on what seems like everything nowadays. I think, but we've also done this in a way in which we have built up such a collaborative and intersectional group of supporters that it kind of starts to go, if the pushback is happening, it's happening from such a narrow and such a small part of the community. I myself am born and raised in the Episcopal Church. I was baptized, confirmed, and married by my church. My community organizing partner in faith-based community organizing is a Lutheran pastor, and he's also on our board as a board member. So when it comes to religious pushback, I think it's one part of our community that we've always had to deal with, we've always dealt with, but I also think we have the language and we have the people behind us to say, you don't speak for me. You don't speak for my faith background. You don't speak for my God or whoever that is. And I think the fact that we are partnering and doing ecumenical training for local churches on how to be inclusive and affirming is far more powerful than any dissenting voice that may or may not come from a pulpit.
Mm-hmm. And I do hear from both of you that you already have gone into the religious, the faith community, and gotten some support, that you have some good support from the political leaders in the community. So really, it sounds like you guys have done a lot of good homework.
We're trying to do our homework, yeah. We're trying to be very thorough. We didn't want to put up a flag and a, you know, a sign and say, here we are, without learning what the community wants first and where they want us and what they want us to provide.
And in your conversations with the community, have you found any LGBTQ plus organizations in Washington County, West Portland area, whatever, that are currently participating in anti-discrimination activism efforts that could help you with your efforts?
I would say we are. We are doing that, and there's other groups too. I think a great example of that is the decision made by the school board earlier this year, where we were representing the LGBTQ community when the school board was thinking about adopting a gender, what is it, gender inclusive, gender expansive,
sexuality
thank
education.
You, comprehensive sex ed. There were some people against it, and we were there, not alone, but we were there in support of it. During that evening, there were people who spoke out against us and our community who were very pointed and very angry that we existed, that we exist, that mm-hmm. we live, and didn't want us in the community and didn't want anyone to be educated on the fact that there's more than just boy and girl and straight. So I think that was a big win for us that night. To be there, to be welcoming, for people to rally with us and around us to say, yeah, you're here and speaking on our behalf. And it was also a reminder, because I walk around, Shannon walks around, and it's okay. But we saw that night that there are so many people who don't want us walking around anywhere at any time. It kind of fueled my fire, right? It's like, oh yeah, we really are needed. Because it's one thing to say, to be ambivalent, like whatever, mm-hmm. Westside Career Resource Center, whatever, fine. But it's something entirely different when you have somebody who say, I don't think you as a person should exist, and I certainly don't want a center. So it was just a reminder that we're needed more than ever. But back to your question about, are there any other organizations?
That night, Planned Parenthood was there. Obviously, Planned Parenthood's advocates are very supportive of us, and we've been in conversations with them. Basic Rights Oregon, which is the LGBTQ political advocacy group, obviously we've been in conversation with, and they're supportive of us. Transactive, which is a nonprofit that's on the Lewis and Clark campus over in Lake Oswego. They do counseling. They do counseling and therapeutic work for the trans community. We've talked with them about, you know, potentially once the building's there, could they provide services through our building? Again, National Association for Mental Illness, PFLAG.
And just for those who may not know, PFLAG is an organization for allies.
Yes, it's parents and families of parents, friends, and families of lesbians and gays.
Thank you.
It's one of the. It is one of the oldest ally-based organizations in the country.
Beach, when you were talking about some of the discrimination that you heard and in the work that you guys have been doing when you've been going through the community, I was struck by what kind of positive impact have you seen when you've been doing this work out in the community?
Hmm. That brings me to a story. We had a picnic. We have community events as well. And we had a picnic on the Friday before Portland Pride mm-hmm. weekend. And it was just a nice little gathering of anybody who wanted to be there, right? And we went up, we did all the planning, everything set up, and people started showing up, and it was a great time. We're playing games, and this, I would say, 15 or 16-year-old transgender, so this is male to female, transgender woman, came up to us and said that this is the first time in her life that she has felt welcome in her town. This was the first time in her life that she could be outside as herself. And it was tough for her to say. It was tough to hear. I'm getting emotional now as I think about it. And it was a great reminder of our work is important, but also how many others didn't show up. How many kids are still in their home who didn't come out, and I don't mean that to be a pun, who are afraid to come out of their home because of who they are.
there's an awful lot of support that you guys are talking about, and that's very nice. But as you're still in the planning stage, although you've done an awful lot of work, I'm wondering if you have vision for the center, for what you're trying to accomplish. And a lot of organizations even put effort into developing a mission statement. Do you have a sense of vision as well as perhaps a mission statement?
We do. We have both. So I'll share a vision statement, then I'll let Beach share a mission statement.
Sure.
So the vision of the Westside Queer Resource Center is to create and sustain an environment where everyone belongs and is supported on their journey.
Thank you.
And the mission of the Westside Queer Resource Center is to foster a welcoming, supportive, and safe environment for the LGBTQAI+ community, their families, and allies by providing programs, education, advocacy, and resources. We strive to embrace intersectionality and adapt to the needs of our diverse community through collaborative efforts.
Very comprehensive. It sounds great. Beach, may I ask you one more time for that Facebook connection?
Sure. Westside QRC.
Westside QRC. Thank you, Beach. Thank you, Shannon, very much for being here. Appreciate that. This is Inside Washington County. Before we go, I want to thank Shauna Muckle, our wonderful researcher, for the efforts that you put into this program today. And I'm Rob Solomon. Get in touch with us at insidewashingtoncounty.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Rick Paulson.
Radio's greatest application is in broadcasting mass entertainment. Probably one of the best ways to get started is to make it a hobby and build an amateur station. It will show you more quickly than anything else whether or not you can succeed in radio.
KBOO, Portland.
Welcome to the Got Science podcast. I'm your host, Colleen MacDonald. My voice sounds a little different this week because my colleagues and I have been staying home.